fans and who that from all over the world. It's time for Saints News Radio with the Professor, the Diva, Remy, and Kyle B.
First and ten, let the story begin. It's football Sunday, the Saints marching in. We rip a bang on our heads, so I'm calling it eight. Last Wednesday, they gon' beat the Saints. First round by, when we make the playoffs, everybody hating, cause we get to take the day off. Vince and Boogie, nobody doing better. Now we on our way to our best season ever.
Okay, Saints fans and hoodats from all over the world, this is Kyle T. Mosley of Saints News Radio, and welcome to tonight's broadcast of the Saints Draft Analyst Show by me, myself, with the professor from The Professor Speaks, Derek Stevens. What's going on, D?
Hey, what's up, man? Just checking out this draft. Checking out bringing to the Who That Nation, to the black and gold.
Yeah, definitely. Let's see how this draft continues for the Saints. We're going to give you guys our perspective, as well as we have special guest Barry Herstowitz from the Big Easy Believer. He will be on with us in a few minutes, as well as Rick Gailey from SportsNola.com. Coach Rick and our resident therapist, right, Professor? So we will have him on, and we also may have Rev from the Who Dat Confessional on with us a little bit later as well. But the first two rounds of the NFL draft for the Saints were, in some fans' minds, very confusing and perplexing. But for Sean Payton, it was one of the drafts that he was confident in the abilities of the first two selections, in Andres Pete at tackle, offensive tackle. And the second pick at number 31 was Stephon Anthony from Clemson, the young inside linebacker who is pretty athletic young man. He was the second pick for the Saints, and a lot of people were kind of scratching their heads there, Professor, because a lot of Saints fans, and as well as the analysts, had the Saints picking an outside linebacker somewhere with those first two picks, but the Saints decided to go elsewhere. You know, Anthony is a big inside linebacker, the type that the Saints need at 6'3". He is very athletic. He has the ability to be groomed within Ryan's defensive scheme, and I think he is going to be one of those guys who is highly athletic, as well as, you know, he has a good football mind to him as well, and a really good young kid. Andres Pete went number one. Man, that was a shocker to a lot of us in Who Dat Nation, as well as I know you, Professor, you had your thoughts about him, but Sean Payton saw the need to be able to solidify an aging offensive line, a line that needed some upgrades, but at offensive tackle with Armstead as well as Zach Streif being there, but Streif is 31 years of age and younger is a little bit older as well. But the Saints having the oldest team in the NFL at the average age of 28 years, I think it was 28 or 28.8 years old in the NFL. So Sean Payton has looked at the offensive line and looked at the competition that is going to be there for the New Orleans Saints in 2015. Okay, Professor, let's start with you, man. And let's just get your quick analysis of the first two picks, and what were your initial thoughts, as well as how do you see these guys lining up for the Saints for 2015?
If I had to do all over with, I would have picked Parker out of Louisville, number 13. My 31st pick would have been Malcolm Brown, who was available to you, and I would have picked in the second round Eric Kendrick from UCLA as my middle linebacker. That's what I would have picked. It was up to me. Now, in actuality, Pete, He's a big guy, played at Stanford, already knows the Sank system because they use the Sank system. That's a benefit for him. Why I think so many in the Hoota Nation are scratching their head is you just signed Zach Street maybe a year ago to an extension. And Tyron Armstead is just in his second season. Okay, you really needed a guard if you was going to pick somebody on the line because Ben Grubbs has left and Jairi Evans is aging. Mark Lolita played very adequately at center and guard, so he can back up Unger. So I think they got him for depth, and I think, honestly, they're going to be probably trying to reduce Zach Street's contract after this year, or Zach Street will be out. That's the bottom line. You can never not have enough tackle guards and center because we know in the NFL injuries are bountiful. So I can understand it in some ways because you're also going to have depth with the tackles with Bryce Harris. I'm hoping that they bring Jonathan Goodwin to back up Max, and therefore we'll have really good depth for the offensive line. Regarding Stephon Anthony, with the signing of Ellerby and with David Hawthorne, not quite sure on that. So what you're saying is that you add in more depth than linebackers, or either Hawthorne or Ellerby is not going to be starting, and Anthony will be. Then you drafted another linebacker and the gentleman from the University of Washington to do outside, so that tells me that Paris Harrison will be on the back burner, and that this gentleman and Junior Gallette, because the gentleman from Washington, Hulali Kikahara, I hope I'm saying his name right. Gentleman from Washington. No apologies to him if I mispronounce his name, because I never want to do that. He had 36 quarterback sacks, and he had 32 over the last 2 years. But my issue with that is he had two ACL injuries, and he played for Washington. The competition in the Pac-10 is not as great. So I don't know what all that means. Let's just hope that these three players can live up to their billing and their potentials. And if that's the case, then they'll turn out to be great draft picks for the Saints. But definitely the two linebackers are going to be probably in thrust as starters or contributors very quickly. Mr. Pete is going to have to beat out Tyron Armstead and Zach Street. And that's not going to be easy because Zach Street and Tyron Armstead played pretty decent last year. Most of the pressure that Drew Brees was facing was coming up at the guard level with Jairi Evans and Ben Grubbs not playing as great. So he comes from a good, outstanding background, so we'll just have to wait and see. But once again, to sum up, if it was left up to me, it would have been Parker first for me, Malcolm Brown, and if I couldn't have gotten Eric Kendrick, I would have then drafted Max Williams because the Saints need a contributing tight end. The loss of Jimmy Graham is going to be far-reaching. Josh Hill and Ben Watson are not the answers at tight end. They can run block, but you do need that pass-catching tight end that, you know, as an outlet for Drew Brees. That's my summation of the first three picks by the Saints.
Yeah, and the tight end that you just mentioned just went off the board. He went to the Baltimore Ravens. So let's bring in Barry Hurstwist. What's going on, Barry? My brother from another mother. How you doing, man?
How you doing, Kyle?
All right. Hey, I know you've been pretty...
What's up, Barry? what's up, Barry?
How you doing, man?
I'm anxious to hear your thoughts on these picks.
I'm still trying to figure out how to say Hioli Kikaha. So let's look forward to saying that for the next 6 or 7 years at the minimum. You know, that's going to be something else to figure out. So I've been sitting here before I came on air with y'all figuring out how to say it.
Yeah, but you know the people in New Orleans are going to have to give him a nickname, man. So I can already see them calling him Kiki. So
yeah, I was thinking that or just by his first name, Hioli. That's pretty easy to remember.
All right. Well, Barry, I want to get your perspective on the Pete signing, especially it brings up a lot of questions that the Saints have a solid guy in Armstead. So we were told by Peyton earlier before the draft, as well as you have a dynamic elder statesman on that line with Zach Strief. Why do you think the Pete pick was such a necessity for the Saints at this particular time?
Well, I don't. That's one of the things. I'll be honest. I mentioned in my article this morning about, you know, and I'm probably not alone in this thinking. I personally would have picked a different player at that spot. I think I would have went defense. There's you know, a Bud Dupree on the board. But I don't want to second guess this management team and this franchise, because, you know, they've proven time and time again that whenever people doubt them don't agree with their methodology, they always right. come out right in the end, you know, and leave you with egg on your face, as they've done to me many times. So I don't want to even try to speculate what they're thinking, but I can only think that this. You know, they did say in the press conference last night that Pete was the highest rated player on their board. And when we discussed this, when I was on with you guys last week, and then 2 weeks before that, when I was on with you guys, and I said it then, and I always say, they are adamant about, regardless of who is on the board, when they get on the board to pick, if they feel a player is the best player available, regardless of position, that they're going to take that player. Now, are they honestly saying that Pete was the best guy on the board on their, you know, as far as their rating when they came up to pick? You know, we could speculate all day about that. But I will say this, 6'7", 315, and runs like a gazelle. I don't know if you saw any of the, I got to see, because I guess I really didn't pay, but I'll be honest, I didn't really pay him a lot of attention. I never really thought he was coming here. Now they're focusing a lot on defense and maybe wide receiver leading up to the draft. The only offensive lineman I even really looked at were the Scherf kid from Iowa, and of course Lyle Collins, and then the A.J. Cam kid from South Carolina. So I really have it in Lakin Tomlinson that I was telling y'all about last weekend from Duke. So those are the only really guards or linemen I've looked at in general. So, you know, so I kind of had to really kind of get caught up on him today. And he's impressive. I mean, he's an impressive kid. So I can only imagine that he's, you know, I had this argument today with a fan on Twitter who insists that he'll start at right tackle. And I don't see that. I think he'll definitely be Scrief's backup. If you're drafting this kid to take Strief's spot, then why are you even keeping Strief? That doesn't even make sense. You would just release Strief altogether. So, I think he's coming. He's gonna come in. He's gonna see a lot of playing time, as Professor alluded to. You know, all these guys are gonna see significant playing time, and Anthony especially. I think Anthony. He was talking about, you know, David Hawthorne better be on his toes. Yeah, you better believe that. That's one thing I don't have a problem predicting at all, is that David Hawthorne will lose the starting Mike linebacker spot. Guaranteed. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this, Professor, and I'm going to come back to you, Barry. When you look at Stephon Anthony, he played with Vic Beasley at Clemson. The level of competition out at the ACC, you had the defending national champions at that particular time, Florida State playing with those guys. You have Duke. Who else was a high-level competition for those guys in the ACC? That was my question. And the Dallas Cowboys just selected Randy Gregory, guys, if you guys want to know what just happened. Yeah.
Wow. So he did finally go.
Yeah. So he just went off the board at pick number 60 to the Dallas Cowboys. Okay. All right. So, Professor, do you believe the level of competition that he faced was stiff enough, or do you think this guy has the potential to really come in and make an impact at middle linebacker for the New Orleans Saints?
I think that the issue is, you bring up a good point. The SEC, by all means, is the dominant and the most fierce competitive college division. And then after that, I would say the ACC, because not only those teams, but Georgia Tech also. I just don't know. I'm like Barry. I just go off of the Saints' track record. In these first two rounds, they have not drafted well. I'm praying that Ireland has come in and that he's changed that. The players that the Saints selected, I would not. Barry brought up a great point. Why in the world did you re-sign Zach Street's extension last year if you knew down the road that your goal was eventually you're going to be replacing him? I mean, because you're now under contract, you're going to still have to pay him his money if you cut him. And that makes no sense to me, unless because Zach Street over the last couple of years has been hurt. He gets, he misses a couple of games every year. And I'm telling you this, you and Barry, mark my words, it is May 1st. With the Dallas Cowboys picking Randy Gregory, every team that passed for Randy Gregory is going to regret it. They're going to regret it because the Saints had a chance to get Randy Gregory in the second round, and you made the choice to go after a gentleman that had two ACL injuries. And I just think that Randy Gregory was worth a chance in the second round. Maybe you didn't want to try him in the first, but in the second round, I would not have passed up on Randy Gregory. So I don't know. I don't have a lot of confidence in the Pac-10, nor do I have a whole lot of confidence, in a lot of other conferences besides the SEC players. And then after that, I would say then the ACC. Coming from Clemson, one thing I can say about Clemson has, they have a pretty good program, and players can come out of there solid. So that's what I'm hoping that, he'll come out solid. I think the Saints players were snatched. Vic Beasley, when Atlanta snatched him, I think some kind of way, sometimes being in media, word got out. I just believe that Atlanta needs defense like the Saints, and word got out about the Saints really, really liking Vic Beasley, and he got snatched. Same thing with Devin Smith. I think those were some of the top players on the Saints board. And when Vic Beasley was gone, then the Saints were reduced, so it was very tough. It was left, okay, what else do we need? We can't get somebody on the defensive line, so we need to add to this offensive line. But I like the guy that Barry talked about, that guard from Duke, because I thought Zach Street and Tyron was stronger. I thought you needed somebody to replace Ben Grubbs and with an aging Jahri Evans. So I don't know. We just have to wait and see. My theory, because –
okay. All right. Well,
until they get on the field, until they play on the field, nobody is proven out of all of the draft picks until they get on the field.
Okay. Saints fans, if you guys would like to call into the show and chat about the Saints, not even chat, if you need to rant, we're here to listen, call in at 818-739-8961. Guys, the Saints have a couple more picks coming up in the third round at 78, as well as at 75. I think the Saints are going to still look at some help on defense, and they may go offense, and we're going to talk a little bit about that a little bit later. Let's stick with the Pete guy here. Barrett, this is for you. I know I'm competing in the ACC, that was my question to Professor. Do you think that was a liability? Yes and no. Also, how do you see him fitting in with Ryan's scheme as a defensive player?
Okay. We're talking about
Kikaha? No, I apologize. I'm talking about Anthony. And then we're going to go.
Miami. Well, no. I will say this much. I know for a fact they worked him out. And they were very high on him. I want to say it was towards the end of March, I think it is, when they flew him into Metairie to work out. So, you know, when they fly somebody to airline drive, they're pretty serious about a guy, which is why I apologize because I missed the last half of the round. Sammy Coates, the wide receiver for Auburn, is still on the board. That's the guy you need to look at 75, because that's another guy that they've...
Dynamic.
Oh, did it? Okay. Yeah. Oh, well, there you go. Well, that strikes him off the board. So there's a lot of guys that they brought in to Metairie. Devin Smith, of course, from Ohio State was another one that I saw that went to the Jets. So I think what's happening here, quite frankly, I know this is getting off topic a little bit, but I think you just alluded to it. A lot of the guys that, or Professor just alluded to it, a lot of the guys that were, that they were targeting are just going off the, Shelton, right before they were or set to take him at 13, he got picked by Cleveland to pick right before. So and I think it just keeps happening to him again and again. I really think they could have waited and took Anthony at 44. I kind of think maybe they took him a little early, but, they when they feel strongly about a guy, they go after him. I kind of agree with the professor. I know Gregory's got a lot of baggage, but I agree with the professor. As much upside as Kikaha has, I just worry about two ACL injuries. I mean, you know, I know he's young. You know, he's a young kid, and you know, you remember how it was when we were all in our 20s. Where, you know, you can bounce back from stuff. You know, but you can't do it in your 30s or 40s, obviously. But to me, that's a red flag, man. Two ACLs. It would be different if it was just one, but it's two. You know, and we saw what's happened to a guy with two ACLs, and that's Ronald Powell, the same strap from last year from Florida. I mean, you're talking about Ronald Powell in high school was the number one player in the nation, hands down. He was a head and shoulders the best football player in the country when he came out. And when he blew out both his ACLs at Florida, he was never the same again. And God bless him. I know he's trying to make his NFL career at the Saints, but I don't think he'll ever be. You'll never see him in the starting linebacker group. I think he'll be a career special teams player. He'll be a contributor, but he'll never start in the NFL. And it's because he's just not the same player. You're just not the same when you blow out your knees like that. You're just, especially in the sport of football, it's not like basketball. Like where Derrick Rose can keep injuring the same knee, you know, four or five times, and he just keeps coming back and back and back and back, and the Bulls are, you know, right there in the thick of it. It's different in football. It's just not the same, you know. The cuts, the physicality of the sport is such that it's just a different, you know. When you have a severe injury like that, you're pretty much done, and I hate to say that. So I'm not going to say that Kikaha is done by any means. I mean, he came back and had a phenomenal senior year, you know, and was the NCAA sack leader in Division I. So, look, I just, you know, I hate second-guessing him, you know, as I alluded to earlier. I just hate second-guessing Loomis and Peyton because they always, in the end, they always wind up being the ones that look smart and make you look stupid. So, but, you know, I can find fault with every one of these picks, but by the same token, I can find reasons to like all three of these picks.
Okay. I can say the Saints have done their due diligence, and these are fine young men. I think they're conservative picks, in my opinion. Pete, I think he's a good pick. All in all, especially when you're talking about protecting a quarterback who's up in age now, probably last 3 or 4 years of his career, a guy like this could be a long-term answer to what they can contribute to that offensive line. You know, so I really believe that he will be a good player. I believe Anthony will be a good player. I just question why would you select him at number 31 where you could have had a couple other guys, especially Malcolm Brown, who would have been a great addition to the Saints defensive line and stopping the run and putting pressure up the middle, you know, and we really needed some answers up the middle because people were running on the Saints and not really helping that linebacking core, you know? So a guy like that next to Hicks, or if they wanted to have him in combination with Bunkley, would have been a great addition for the team, you know? And you see where he went to the Patriots. So I'm pretty sure Belichick has his eyes on him and what he can be able to contribute to that organization as well. And, you know, and also, man, I'm not taking anything away from Anthony, but you also had the kid from Mississippi State, which is, in my opinion, that to have that size of 6'4", being an inside linebacker, being able to also line up as a defensive end to rush as well, I think that meant more in the NFL, especially today's NFL, than to have a guy who would you say have the potential to do something. I watched that kid against SEC talent like Alabama as well as LSU. I thought he would have been a good, solid pick. But I'm not the Saints, and they did their homework, right? So that's where we are at this time. Two ACL injuries with this young man. That's a hard one to really understand why you would take that chance at number two. And I'll be honest with you. And you had Kendricks there, you know, but is he a good player? Yes, I think he's a good player, but he's not much taller than Junior Gallette for edge rusher, you know? So I just question that. So, okay. Any other thoughts on these guys, Professor and Barry?
Well, I mean, go ahead, Barry. You go first.
Go ahead, Barry.
Well, I was just gonna say I still like the Anthony kid. You know, he kind of burst onto the scene, kind of was an unknown. It was actually Charles Davis of the NFL Network that went and left over him at the Senior Bowl and kind of put him on the map, so to speak. And then he went to the scouting combine and blew that up. And you know, and just, I mean, he's got a lot of potential, you know. But, you know, these players, you never know how they're going to pan out. And that's the one thing I always caution fans, you know, and even I get caught up, you know, because, you know, I'm a writer, but I'm also, you know, like a, as we all know, I grew up as a Saints fan, and so I always try to separate the two from being a unbiased journalist versus a diehard Saints fan that grew up in New Orleans. And you know,
it's hard, Barry. It's hard to do.
and it's a fine line that you have to walk. And I get a lot of slack from certain fans because they feel like I'm not loyal to the team, or I'm too critical, or you know, even my article this morning, I had a few people you know, kind of make a few comments in the Facebook on the Facebook post to me, and you know, hey, you know, look, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, you know, I have some questions. Me personally, I would have done things a little different yesterday. I probably would have did something a little different today. Look. You had Denzel Perriman. You had Bernard. McKinney went to pick right before because Houston traded up against him. So right. He went to pick right before. So we don't know. They might have. McKinney might have been the guy ever fixed the team. So maybe Ikaha was a reaction to McKinney being taken right ahead of him. Just like Shelton might have been. Like Pete was a reaction to Shelton. I'm speculating that Ikaha was a reaction to McKinney. So we don't know. It will never know. You know,
Gregory would have been my reaction. Randy Gregory would have been my reaction.
Denzel Perriman, you know, the one that I've been drooling over for the last 3 months.
Yeah.
Kendrick Kendricks went the very next pick after them. Yeah, you know, so sure. to me, there was this other guy, or even North tackle, Jordan Phillips from Oklahoma. Done. You know, when you get past Shelton, Malcolm Brown, and Eddie Goldman, the very next nose tackle is Jordan Phillips. So, you know, that was another guy that was there. So, I just hate second guessing them because it makes me look like I'm this big critic of the team, and, you know, people are going to say I'm the next Hap Gladie or Buddy Diliberto or whatever and ragging on the home team. But that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to figure out what it is that you're thinking. Because if you're trying to, if you got 9 picks and you're trying to make this team Super Bowl contender, you know, basically overnight, and you know, from 7-9 back to a Super Bowl contender, you don't get it with drafting a guy with 2 blown ACLs. You don't get it with, you know, a guy picking a guy at 31 that you could have got at 44. And you definitely don't get it. Yeah, I mean, getting a guy at 13 that, you know, you probably could have got at 31, maybe. I mean, you know, there's some debate as to whether he would have went, you know, probably in the middle of the first, whatever. And that's fine. Look, like I said, I hate second guessing him, but all I can say is if, especially Anthony, I think will definitely be a solid pro. But with Pete and with Kikaha, you know, every one of these guys has tremendous upside, you know. So I don't think they would pull the trigger if they had any hesitation, you know, as to, you know, in the back of their mind saying, well, you know, we're worried about this guy could be a bust. I don't think they think that with any of these guys that they're going to be a bust. And I'm not going to say on my end that I think any of these guys would be a bust because I don't know. You know, look, I'm the same guy who said Jarvis Jones from Georgia 2 years ago was going to be the next Lawrence Taylor. And we saw how that turned out. So I'm still eating crow on that one. So
Barry, Barry, I don't want you to feel bad because the professor said something similar to that.
I'm going to still tell you, I still would take Jarvis Jones over Kenny Vaccaro. I don't.
I thought he was going to be the next superstar NFL defensive player of the year type of guy. I thought he was going to be Lawrence Taylor, Mike Singletary.
Barry and Kyle. This is what I just told Kyle. This is where the people don't deal with reality. Let me tell y'all something, and I told this to Kyle. And you don't have to feel bad, Barry, because you're not against the Saints. You're telling the truth. The New Orleans Saints, I will say it for you, they have not selected good number ones. The only number one under Sean Payton that the Saints have selected that was a heavy contributor was Reggie Bush. Since Reggie Bush, the Saints have not selected well in the first 2 rounds. That's just the bottom line. I don't care if they get met. It's just a fact. You have not selected well. And the bottom line is this, with these college players, Kyle and I did a look at the 2013 and 2014 draft. You only have, out of the average draft, maybe 4 players that come in that be very good, and you might have 2 others that be average. Everybody else, they're not names that you even remember after the draft. So the reality is, in this draft, out of this draft of 32 in that first round, probably 4 are going to turn out to be heavy contributors that you remember after the draft. The rest of these players is going to take them up to through year 3 and 4 for them to become good players because the level of football aptitude of these young players now is just not there. It's just not there. It is taking these kids 3 to 4 years to really pick up and understand how to play NFL pro football. That's just the reality. And the other thing I showed Kyle today when we did the study, most of your heavy contributors in the 2013 and 2014 draft that made an impact on their teams instantly were wide receivers. Everybody else and other 2 areas was Andrew Luck at quarterback and Teddy over up there in Minnesota. Most of your impact players either is going to be a quarterback or a wide receiver. On defense, for the last probably 6 years, with the exception of Clay Matthews, J.J. Watts, and Luke Kuechly in Carolina, most of these defensive players that these teams are drafting in the first round did not live up to par. They just have not lived up to par because the game is an offensive dominated game. That's why, for me, when Devontae Parker slipped, I'm sorry, because you need weapons for Drew Brees. I would have just went and got Parker. Malcolm Brown was a top 20 player. He wound up sliding down. You could have got Malcolm. And then in the next round, you could have probably either got Max Williams or you could have got Randy Gregory. So for me, with the Saints and their picking and stuff, you just never know, because these guys have not proven. The ratio of proven players is like 1/8. 1/8 of the draft of these players become superstars, or not really superstars, because we know in this time we don't have the same type of players that we grew up with in the 70s, 80s, and early 90s. These players either be very good or good. They don't be consistent. They're not consistent. These NFL players, even the good ones, they're not consistent. They either get hurt every year. You can't count on them. So the risk, that the variables that I think the Saints using this is that, like Kyle said, we need a linebacker, and Anthony was rated right up there as the best middle linebacker. Pete was rated after Sharif and Flowers. I think he was projected to go mid or late first round. I think that's why they went with him. Now this last one with Kikakaha, I can't pronounce the name good yet. I'm still trying to get it. I don't know where he came from. I had not ever even really heard of him, to be quite honest.
Washington.
Right. I know where he came from now, but I'm saying I had not heard of him before tonight. I'm just being honest, because I don't really follow Pac-10 football. I don't. So I can't really say anything good or bad about him, because I really don't know, and I don't follow Stanford, so I don't really know a lot about Pete. Only what I know about Pete is what I read when I was studying the draft choices. I generally follow SEC and ACC players. So that's what I think the wisdom is. But you are absolutely right, Barry. There is hesitancy. I have the same as I told Kyle off the air, and I'll say it publicly now. I was not excited about this draft because the Saints do not draft well. That's just a fact. If you go through their draft picks, Meacham, he was no superstar. Cedric Ellis, we know how that ended. Malcolm Jenkins, we know how that ended. Patrick Robinson, we know how that ended. Mark Ingram has only had one good year. One good year. Cameron Jordan, one good year. Kenny Vaccaro, one average to above average year. That is a reason for you to be with hesitancy and concern, Barry. Kyle, you're not wrong for feeling the way you are. You're giving the facts. Now, we're starting anew. We're going to believe the best for these three that have already selected. I'm hoping the Saints in the third round will select the guy from Stanford that Emory talked about, Todd Montgomery, if he's available, and get a tight end, because the Saints don't have no weapons on offense right now for Drew Brees. You have let go Darren Sproles, Pierre Thomas, Lance Moore, and Jimmy Graham. All four of those players average 70 receptions a year, at least above 50. All you have now is an aging Marcus Colston and a potential Brandon Cooks, but he has to play a full year. We don't know what Brandon Cooks is going to do. So you don't have no weapons. Nick Toon, Chantavius Jones, Coleman, they're unproven. Joe Morgan, splash and dash. Hopefully he'll get his act together. This is his fifth year with the Saints. So where are the weapons for Drew Brees? It's great if you have a line that can protect him now, but who is he going to throw the ball to on with any consistency that he can count on? So now you're going to have to switch your game plan now to rely on Spillers, Kyrie Robinson, and Mark Ingram and run the ball more. And maybe that's what they're going to go to.
Good point. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, 818-739-8961 with the professor as well as Barry Hurstwitz from the Big Easy Believer. Let's call Rick Gailey again. Let's see if Coach is available.
You have reached the voicemail for Rick Gailey.
Okay. Well, Coach is out of pocket again?
Unavailable.
Yeah, unavailable. Unavailable. Okay, guys. Third round. The Saints have these two picks. Barry, how do you see the Saints going with these next two picks for the team?
I alluded to it earlier. I didn't know if you guys had known if Sammy Coates, the wide receiver for Auburn, has been taken. He hasn't been taken yet. That's who I think they're going to pick at 75. Mike Cotillier, my friend from WWL, told me a few weeks back that I mentioned it a few minutes ago, that they had worked Coates out. They're very, very high on the kid. I don't think they probably expected him to still be on the board. I think it'll be out if the Jalen Strom kid from Arizona State also is still on the board at the moment.
Yeah,
so I think it's going to come. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I can't believe that. So I think it's going to, if those two guys are still on the board at the same time, they're going to be torn probably between one of those two guys. I would just lean Sammy Coates just because they're high on him and they worked him out. And apparently Jalen Strong has some medical issues that caused him to fall as far as he has. I saw him projected low first even. So I'm shocked that he's still on the board here at the top of the third. So I definitely think they're going to take a wide receiver in this round. So even if they don't take it at 75, I would imagine they'll take it at 78. And you got a lot of good, like I said, there's Strong, there's Coates. There's the kid that I told you guys about. His name is Trey McBride from William
yes,
and Mary.
Yes, Barry, yes. That boy is bad from William and Mary. Yes, he is.
Yeah, you know, you get a lot, and this happens every year. We saw it in the Super Bowl when Jimmy Butler made the interception to win the Super Bowl. Small school kids can play. They can play well. They just don't get the recognition. They don't get the attention because they play at a small school. But that doesn't mean they can't play the sport, you know. And of course, you know, I know that. And like I said, Mr. Mike Tillier knows that, and people who follow college scouting and that type of stuff very closely. And Trey McBride is fantastic. I mean, I'll tell you this: if they pick Trey McBride, he'll be the new number one wide receiver in New Orleans within two to 3 years.
I will confidently
say that. He will be the number one wide receiver for the Saints within two to three years as soon as Marcus Colston retires. That's how good he is. Another kid is Desmond Lewis from Central Arkansas. And if you guys read Big Easy Believer frequently, which I know y'all do, you've seen me mention him. I've had him in my in a few of my articles. Another kid was gonna play originally at Texas. He wound up not going, and then at the last second he wound up enrolling at Central Arkansas, and then wound up staying at Central Arkansas and just lit it up. You know, it's Division II, you know, or what FCS now they call it. I still call it Division II, and just owned defenses in FCS level. So, you know, there's a lot of good talent out there in certain positions. Inside linebacker was very deep this year. Wide receiver is another one. So I think they're going to go wide receiver. And, you know, hey, I've seen this speculated time and time and time again. Kyle, I don't know if you guys have even touched on it tonight, about Lael Collins from LSU and his legal situation up there at Baton Rouge. I've seen a lot of people thinking that maybe because the Saints are so familiar with him and so familiar with LSU being the in-state program and the close ties that the Saints organization has with LSU, that they might take a shot at Lael Collins. Because, look, you're talking about a kid with a first-round grade, a first-round talent. I mean, people were talking about Lael Collins. I always get his first name, always Lael. And then people always talk about him as being possibility as their number one pick at 13. So
yeah, not to interrupt you, Barry. Not to interrupt you. Remember earlier in the press conference, Peyton said he will get drafted. Remember that
That's
was
right.
the kind of cryptic.
That's
he
right.
said will get drafted.
That's so. Right. And look, he might have been referring to himself. We don't know.
Yeah.
So, and maybe that's been his plan all along. Maybe he gets on the board, he gets his wide receiver first at 75, and then they come back around three picks later, and there's Lyle Collins sitting right there. You know, hey, well, now we got Pete to be your starting right tackle for the next decade because, yeah, he's the great. One thing I'm going to say about Pete, because we kind of got off track and I never really gave you my analysis of his. He's going to be an All-Pro. There's no doubt in my mind. He's going to be an outstanding football player. He's not going to do it in 2015, but, 2017, 2018 down the line, you got to start seeing, Andrew Pete going to the Pro Bowl annually every year. So there's 6'7", 315. I mean, you can't coach that. That's just natural, So. I mean, he's the real deal. I mean, I watched a lot of film on him yesterday, and there were just plays where I know the professor's a little hesitant on the Pac-10 guys, and I don't blame him. That the Pac-10 is a finesse conference. I mean, you got the Oregon Ducks and USC and all those kind of teams out there. They play a little what I call finesse football. They're not smash mouths like the SEC or even the ACC. But, or the Big Ten. I left the Big Ten out. But I just think that he'll be a good player. But point being, if you take Lyle Collins now in round three, then you got your left guard for the next decade. You got your right tackle for the next decade. And then you got Matt Unger, who you just picked up in the trade from Seattle, who's only 29 years old. So he's going to play, usually centers nowadays, they play into their late 30s. You're still going to get another 5 to 6, maybe 7 years out of Max Unger, of quality of football. So the offensive line, we haven't really, been paying it a lot of attention, but this offensive line is suddenly becoming younger and it's becoming better. And what was the one thing that we heard of so much about at the end of last year, besides defense being an obvious hole because it couldn't stop nobody, was Drew Brees running for his life and Drew Brees practically getting killed out there. And for the first time in his entire career, we saw Drew Brees under a lot of duress. So what have they done? They've got a Pro Bowl center, and now you've got a right tackle, I guess, if that's what he's going to do, for the next decade. So at least, for Brees, until Brees retires, then whoever the next quarterback's going to be after Brees won't be Ryan Griffin, I can say that.
Before you go on, Barry, the guy of that size, why would you keep him on the right side? That's left side potential, right? So make sense that you switch Armstead to the right side?
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was thinking. I've been thinking about that all day today because, as I alluded to earlier, I'm still trying to figure out what they're thinking because I don't know what they're thinking. If you watch any of the film on Pete, that's where he plays. He's left tackle, and he's a good one. So maybe that's their logic. Because we don't know. I mean, all we know is we're in day two of the draft. We haven't got to mini camp. We haven't got to training camp. We haven't got to September. Maybe that's their plan. Maybe they're going to put Pete at left tackle and move Armstead to right tackle, and they let Armstead take over when Scree's gone. I mean, maybe that's their logic. I don't know. That's the part that will drive you insane as a Saints fan or Saints analyst or observer or writer or whatever you want to call it. That's what is maddening about this whole thing because they don't tip their hand on much. And these little cute press conferences that they give where you think they're telling you something, but they're really not telling you nothing, Because, they basically tap danced around the whole thing yesterday. Well, we'll let it work itself out. But what does that mean? Everybody said, well, these things will work themselves out. Okay. Well, that doesn't tell me much. So, what's your game plan? Are you going to move Armstead to right? to the right tackle and let Pete be the new left tackle. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Like I told the professor earlier, why did you even bring Streif back then if that was your game plan the whole time? Of course, now, you know, like as professor alluded to, they would have to eat his contract because it doesn't mean Streif's gonna be on the final roster. Maybe they signed him to the 1 year. I mean, he only signed a 1 year deal, if I'm right. So, look, maybe they signed him thinking, well, look, we'll sign him to a 1 year deal and bring him back with the deal on the side being that if he doesn't, you know, if we could find somebody better than him, you know, and maybe he's already on the roster, maybe it was Armstead, you know. And, you know, if our plan works out, we won't need Zach Streif, or he can stay here and be the backup if he wants to make any money and still be an NFL player. So, I mean, you don't know. That's the part that drives me personally insane because, you know, I'm trying to figure out what they're doing so I can give my readers an idea of what's going on, but I don't even know myself.
Okay. Quick update, guys. The big tight end from Miami is off the board. Walford went to the Oakland Raiders. So,
Amari Cooper and Clive Walford now for Derek Carr. That's going to be, I'm telling you, the Raiders are having an outstanding draft. That's a team that's going to be very much improved next year. They're having an outstanding draft.
Okay, hold on. We have a caller. Hey, Rev, is that you?
Yeah, that's me.
What's going on?
Oh, no,
we got Rev.
Yeah, decided to take a call.
All right, man. Well, hey, welcome to the show, Rev. And you have a different perspective on what the Saints would do for the third round choice. And I want you to tell the listeners what you just texted me.
Well, I think it's very possible. We've been talking about this for a while. NFL.com's been talking about it, ESPN. With this being the third round, this could be the round here or next where you see them take a look at quarterback. And, of course, they've had a couple in mind, Bryce Petty being the favorite of most Saints fans.
Okay. Any other thoughts or any other positions that they could possibly look at?
Well, I still think they need a lot of defensive help. I like what they've done so far addressing offensive line. I think that was a good fit. Wide receiver is obviously needed, but I don't think it's very pressing. I know that's a lot different than most people. I don't think it's that pressing of an issue. Still think we need to focus on defense. There's still some solid players out. Defensive line and linebacker is always a position we're thin at the past 3 years. We have an opportunity to correct that. And I could see them staying in that same front seven in this, at least with one of these next picks.
Okay. The Saints are up on pick number 75. And right now, pick number 71 with the Chicago Bears is in. So if you guys stay tuned with us, we will announce the pick. Go ahead.
I didn't hear you announce it, but for all Saints fans listening, Jalen Strong just went to the Texans. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that definitely puts Sammy Coates in play. I guarantee you that.
Wow. Well, Texans going to have a good squad this year, looks like it. And get this, we play the Houston Texans in preseason as well as regular season. I will be at both of those games here in Houston. So that's going to be pretty interesting to see how the Saints work that out. Professor, any thoughts on what you believe the Saints should do on the third round?
I agree with the caller, Rev, that the Saints should get the quarterback from Bill. I also agree with Barry McBride or the wide receiver from Auburn because the Saints have to prepare for the future. Another thing I'd like to add, one of the good things about Pete, if there's any team in the Pac-10 that plays closer to SEC football, and also with high intelligence because of the school, is Stanford. So that those are two things with the P drafting that's definitely going to work in his favor. But I would like to see the Saints get the quarterback from Baylor since Strong is gone and the tight end from Miami is gone. So I would now either go for the wide receiver at Auburn, the wide receiver, Ty Montgomery, the wide receiver from Stanford, or either the quarterback from Baylor or McBride. I really would like to see the Saints grab McBride from William & Mary. I agree 100% with Barry. I had the opportunity to watch this guy on NFL Network. I forget which show. ESPN, one of them he was on. Very intelligent, very outstanding young man. So the Saints need to now add some weapons on offense. And I understand, you know, some people, you know, may not think the wide receiver situation is not a problem. But last year with the Saints, the wide receivers were a problem in terms of consistency. Kenny Steele and Marcus Colston disappeared in games. They disappeared in games, and we can no longer have that. That's part of the reason why Kenny Steele got traded. If you go back and look at the Saints games, there are just times where Marcus Colston and Kenny Steele, you didn't hear their name mentioned on a catch for gaps. And the Saints now need, they need to get back to the fearsome foursome they had in 2011 when they were the greatest show on turf. They need four consistent wide receivers for Drew Brees, because it doesn't appear that they're going to, unless they find someone after the third round or fourth round in tight ends, the Saints are going to have to go with Josh Hill and Ben Watson at tight end. And so you're not going to have that contribution in that area like you had with Jimmy Graham. So now the wide receiver is going to have to step up. So those are my thoughts about the third round. We'll wait and see what happens.
Well, I mean, it's nice to have wide receivers, but honestly, last year's wide receiver group really wasn't that bad. They performed very well. The problem the Saints face is they look at nothing but nickel and dime packages all day long because nobody fears the run game. 2009 receivers, and I know this is blasphemous for Saints fans, Devery Henderson, Robert Meacham, Marcus Colston, Lance Moore are not strong receivers. Those are all average to below average with the exception of Colston, yet they look great in 2009 because we were a complete team.
No, I said 2011, Rev. I didn't say 29. And those receivers last year, go back and watch the game. Them guys dropped a lot of passes. Kenny Steele and Marcus Colston in games, you hear their name in the first quarter, you hear no more from them. That's why their stats are so low. Go look at their stats in those games, and you'll see why Drew Brees' stats were higher because they spread the ball. But in terms of wide receivers, the Saints wide receivers was ranked at towards the bottom of the league in terms of their play, in terms of drop passes, in terms of production. The Saints spread the ball so much that it, sometimes it can be overshadowed. But in terms of their production, oh, man, I'm telling you, because Kyle and I watched their games over and over on Game Rewind, and we noticed that in those games, Marcus Colston and Kenny Steele, in some of these games, they were just nowhere to be found. And so whoever starts, whether it be Marcus Colston, Brandon Cooks, Joe Morgan, they've got to be much more consistent in terms of their play. I don't know what the new guys, Chantavius Jones and Brandon Coleman, going to add in their second year, but the Saints were very, very good in terms of spreading the ball. And in 2011, you could not stop this offense. And those were the same receivers that they had. And I agree with you. Those receivers were not really big play receivers, but they were able to, because of the Saints' offensive line and the way the Saints ran their routes and had so many weapons, they were very productive. So I do agree with you. You don't have to be superstars, but you need productive wide receivers.
But here's the thing. You mentioned 2011. 2014, we only had three more drops from the 2011 season. 2011, we registered 27. Last year, we registered 30. You know, Kenny Stills in the third quarter last year was rating the highest average of almost any wide receiver in the NFL. He was averaging over 20 yards a catch. I mean, he
but
was
that's just quarter,
Rev.
That's not every. That's,
no,
but,
that's
but
the
why
second
you
half
got rid of Kenny Still? Why did you think
his,
they traded
Kenny Still? His stats in the second half were better than the first half. They traded Kenny Stills because he was a locker room problem. That's why Sean
Payton. And that's my point, because he was lackadaisical in games. I'm telling you, I listened to Coach Payton and I listened to WWL. The problem with Kenny Steele was he had the attitude like, whichever way the wind blow. Okay, so I may not catch a ball for three quarters, but I may light it up in one quarter. You can't have that. You need a four-quarter receiver. We need four-quarter wide receivers.
If you look at his play, he was consistent every quarter. His attitude, yeah, might have been a problem, but you can't knock his on-the-field play. He did great.
He was not consistent every quarter, Rev. You got to go back and watch them games on Game Rewind. He was not consistent every quarter. Kenny still had a big
game. Yes, he was.
Go rewatch the games. He was not consistent every game and every quarter. You have to go back and rewatch them games and look at Kenny Steele's play. There are games where Kenny Steele, because I made notes of it, because we do these broadcasts, so I don't ever want to say nothing that is not true. When you go back and look at those games, Kenny Steele in those games, there are gaps where Kenny Steele is nowhere to be found. Go back and look at the Dallas game. Go back and look at the Atlanta game. Go back and look at the Cleveland game. Go back and look at the Detroit game. Kenny Steele made...
You know, keep in mind, you're pointing out games at the very beginning of the season where the entire team was bad. You look at the middle of the season. He had a stretch where he was targeted almost six times or more every game going past the second half of the season. Everybody was horrible the first half of the season. Ingram,
no, he was
down,
he was the top receiver.
Yards were down.
Bad.
Everybody was struggling.
Were horrible.
Please
you're right.
Struggling.
You're right. All of them were bad because that's why he was the top receiver. Because Brandon Cooks went out with an injury. Brandon Cooks was the number two receiver before he got hurt. Brandon Cooks was on pace for 1,000 yards. Then he got hurt. And so when he left out, yes, the second half of the season, yes, Kenny Steele was the best receiver because Marcus Colston was horrible. Go back and
what, you,
what happened
what?
To the
You're talking about a number three receiver. You want a number three receiver to have 1,500 yards every year?
Kenny Steele was their starting receiver. He was the number three receiver. When Brandon Cooks went out, Kenny Steele was the starting receiver.
He still wasn't a flanker. He was a slot receiver the entire year.
Yeah, but what I think was
and Cooks got hurt. Kenny Steele was the starter with Marcus Colston.
What I think is being overlooked is the fact that we needed more consistency and production across the board. And, yeah, he had some good flash numbers from time to time. Yeah, and he had the bigger number toward the end of the year. What I think, Rev, what he's trying to say is just we need more consistency from the standpoint of how Drew Brees is going to rely on more than one wide receiver at a time. That might be one of the main reasons why they got rid of Jimmy Graham as well, because everybody knew the ball most likely was going to go to the biggest safety valve that Drew Brees had, Jimmy Graham. So how do you get better? You have more equal distribution of the wealth on the field. And I don't know right now if we still have those type of players in our wide receiver.
I didn't want them to trade. To be honest with you, Rev, I didn't want the Saints to trade Kenny Steele. I did not. Kyle, tell you, I told him, I said, no. I didn't care because that's just a second-year player that was nearly 1,000 yards, and he was growing, and plus he had speed. I would prefer the Saints got rid of Marcus Colston, to be honest with you, because I didn't want to see a 24-year-old player to leave the team, and you keep a 32-year-old player, and he was your top receiver. So I'm just letting you know, Rev, I was very much against the trading of Kenny Steele.
So you're also talking about two completely different receivers. You're talking about a split end and a slot receiver. You can't just get rid of one and replace them with the other. They're completely different. It's like talking about a left tackle and a right tackle. But, I mean, you're still talking about a guy who caught over 71% of his target, which is an extremely high mark for a slot receiver. I mean, I just can't down the guy. I can down Colston for getting older, but it's also a very easily replaceable position. Wide receiver is not something that a Saints – teams you'd have to worry about.
Okay, and their record has been, and since they've done that, their record has been 13-14 since they replaced. Their record is when they had those other four guys that were not superstars, as you stated, compared to what they have now, they've had a losing record except for that 6-0 start in 2013.
Yeah, but can you blame that on wide receiver? You're also talking about going back.
I don't blame it all on the wide receiver. Blame it on all our wide receivers.
Linemen. They had five Pro Bowl level linemen and two All Pros. You had a horrible offensive line for the past 4 years.
And that's a problem too. I agree with you 100%. That's a problem too. And also they turned the ball over too much. All of them: Jimmy Graham, Kenny Steele, and Marcus Colston. When you go back and look at those games the Saints lost, everybody likes to blame the defense. In that game against Atlanta, Marcus Colston fumbled. In that game against Cleveland, Drew Brees threw the pick six. In that game against Detroit, Drew Brees threw the interception. So some of these turnovers that them games the Saints lost was not all just the defense. Those games was lost by the entire team. And some of those games that were lost was because the fact of the matter is when Drew Brees needs to find a receiver to get a crucial first down to win a game or in a clutch period, he could not find Kenny Steele or Marcus Colston. When you go back in 2014 and 2013, I can't tell you one game where Kenny Steele and Marcus Colston caught a key pass that won a game for the Saints.
Interesting dialogue, interesting debate. Let's move on, guys. The Atlanta Falcons are about to select at pick number 73 for this draft, and a couple more picks after that the Saints will pick. Guys, Sammy Coates is one guy to look at. There's a good young man out of the University of Georgia in Conley that I watched him play a number of times. He's a very good wide receiver. Could they have some value in selecting him? Possibility. Will they? I don't think so, but that's a possibility there. All right, so the Atlanta Falcons just selected running back Tevin Coleman from Indiana University. So what are your thoughts about that pick, or do we even care? Thank you. All right. Hey, but I do want to get you guys' analysis of this. The wide receiver Funches out of the University of Michigan is another big receiver that the Saints would have to face when they face Carolina. So now you're going to have Funches as well as Benjamin. Do you think our cornerbacks can be able to hold up with those guys, Barry?
Well, look, that's what the whole reason why you got Brandon Browner. So it'll be interesting to watch, that's for sure. But I think the Saints will have to be up to the task. They won't have a choice. So we'll see.
No choice, huh? Do you see any picks that within the NFC South that the Saints need to be aware of? Weary of?
I mean, honestly, not really. I haven't seen anything that just makes, you know, my blood boil in fear. I mean, you look at picks like, take the example of the wide receiver we just talked about Carolina taking. Carolina still has no offensive line. Having two great big receivers doesn't help much when you aren't able to give them 3 seconds to get down the field. So if they don't fix that offensive line and you have a team with a pass rush like the 2013 Saints did and the Saints did last year in Carolina, it's not a problem. The only time those guys can become a problem is if you give a quarterback a clean pocket. So that doesn't worry me. The Falcons have yet to give me anything that worries me because their defense needs – it's worse than ours. They need 5 to 6 good players, whereas we only need 2 to 3. Now, after the draft ends, I might see a full list of a team that makes me worry. But as of right now, I still think the Saints are the key. You know, they hold the keys to win the division. It's just up to them whether they will.
Okay, good point. The Giants just selected the guy that I wanted the Saints to get. Defensive end, Wambigi Odie from UCLA, man. So he went to Giants. So, hey, I like that kid. I thought he had a lot of potential at 6'3", 267 pounds. Good player. So he's off the board. So the Saints are next. What do you think is going to be the pick? Who that nation? Should the Saints go defense? Will they go offense? What is on the mind of Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis? What's your thoughts there, Professor?
For the Saints?
Yeah.
I already told you. Either the quarterback from Baylor or the McBride from William & Mary or the wide receiver from Auburn. Those are the players I pick, but the Saints would know better because they've scouted them better. One thing, let me say this. This is one of my concerns with the Saints. The Ireland guy comes here from Dallas, and I hope you're not trying to duplicate what Dallas has did because that's just 1 year. They had that success. you know, my whole model, I apply the same principle. I need to see production from you over a period of time. That, you know, and I hope that the Saints are not trying to duplicate with Ireland and Rob Ryan, because they, I think the Dallas Cowboys diminished the value of DeMarco Murray. And they may learn a very difficult lesson this year and how valuable he was, just thinking you could put anybody behind because their line had a good year. So I hope that the Saints are not trying to do that. Or just like a lot of teams when Seattle won the Super Bowl, well, let's duplicate Seattle. Well, last I checked, Seattle got the same amount of Super Bowls as the Saints. So I don't like when sometimes teams try to copycat whatever team won the Super Bowl before and stuff like that. The bottom line is, Coach Payton and Mickey Loomis and Coach Rob Ryan, the Saints have needs all over, just like Rev stated. They need help in the interior of their defensive line. They need help with their offensive line. They needed linebackers as well as wide receivers. So if I was the Saints at this point, I would draft who is the best available wide receiver, or who is the best available guard, or who is the best available interior defensive lineman or defensive end to get better at that area. Now, you have to face the fact, and I know who that nation you don't like to hear, Drew Brees is not going to play forever. Ryan Griffin is not your answer at this time. I don't know. Maybe this year he might be better. But if you have decided that Ryan Griffin is or is not, or if he is not your future, then it's time to take a look at someone that can sit behind Drew for a couple of years, sort of like what Aaron Rodgers did under Brett Favre, that can come in 4 years from now, play with Pete, play with Anthony, play with all these other younger players you're getting, and a team can continue to be successful 10 years from now. That's my thoughts on the third round.
Okay, Paul Dawson is still on the board too.
Yeah. Hmm.
Who?
Paul Dawson, the kid, the linebacker out of TCU.
I don't know if you're going to see the Saints drafting any more linebackers. They just drafted two.
Never know.
Yeah, you never know.
Well, hey, look, I've been saying forever that that was their weakest spot on their team, so I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be against it.
Yeah, they need an overhaul with their defense. But okay. The Saints have to stop turning over the ball, too. I'm telling everybody, all of those games that the Saints lost was not all on the defense. Drew had some crucial turnovers. They had crucial fumbles and different things in those games that – the Saints would have not even been in those predicaments to put that defense in that area had the offense not be such a turnover machine.
Yeah. I think Petty right here would be a great pick, a great value pick for the Saints, to be honest. And this is the first time I ever said that in open. I think.
Well, look, if you're going to replace Brees, he's the kid to do it. And look, they passed on Garoppolo last year and allegedly were kicking themselves in the butt for passing on Garoppolo. So, you know, maybe this time around they don't pass. You know, so Garrett Grayson from Colorado State looks to be the pick. And he's the most polished quarterback of all the quarterbacks. That's going to be your successor to Drew Brees. Garrett Grayson is the next pick.
That's a big guy. Good strong arm.
That's your future quarterback. That's Drew Brees.
Hmm. Interesting. I wonder why they went against Petty. Very interesting.
Well, they worked him out in Fort Collins, Colorado, last Monday. So I mean, they've been planning this. So
yeah.
I mean,
welcome
I like
to
pick,
the NFL and to the New Orleans Saints, Mr. Garrett Grayson, quarterback out of Colorado State, 6'2". 213 pounds, good little guy, good strong arm. Right now he will back up Drew Brees for the next few years. So I like the pick. I like the kid. I still would have picked Petty.
I honestly like it, especially if you're doing and don't take this comparison to anybody listening to the extreme and start putting it on Twitter. But if anybody remembers Aaron Rodgers coming out of college, one of the biggest drawbacks was he did not have a very good release. That's one of the same things with Grayson. Grayson's got a sort of a short windup, kind of like how Tim Tebow had coming out of college and it was a real slow release. But if he sits there and sits under a Sean Payton-type coach, that can evolve in the next couple of years, because one thing Grayson has that might be the best out of any quarterback coming out of a college this year is incredible deep ball touch, and his accuracy on all passes is phenomenal.
Yep.
You can't teach accuracy. Accuracy comes. You either have it or you don't. You either are Drew Brees level of accurate or you're Peyton Manning. You might win Super Bowls, but you still only throw 65% every year. Grayson is that level of accurate. Now, if Sean Payton can fix that mechanic issue in the next couple of years, you could have a very big surprise come out when Drew Brees decides to retire.
Guys, I watched Petty. I'm right here in Texas. They played a lot of Baylor games on TV. That kid can throw the ball. But that's neither here nor there, because Grayson is the guy, you know. So that's just my opinion. All right. Well, guys, let's see. We got a couple more picks between here and now. Any other thoughts on the Saints, what they possibly would do with the next pick at 78?
Well, as Professor said, we still, you know, receivers up there. We've addressed linebacker twice, and we still got about 500 safeties on the team. So unless they go defensive line, wide receiver would be the logical choice.
500 safeties? Well, Conley is off the board. The Kansas City Chiefs heard my cries, and now Chris Conley is off the board.
See who's left. I mean, another good question is, will the Saints go for, if they go receiver, do they go for the split end style, taller, bigger, slower like Colson, or they go for Steele's replacement, a small shifty guy in the slot? Because there's a couple of good guys still out there, depending on which way they want to go.
Yeah. They still have at wide receiver, Green is still available. Colts is still available. Ty Montgomery from Stanford is still available. I like Ty Montgomery because he can be a little bit more versatile. Well, Colts can be versatile as well, but Ty Montgomery is a good guy. You have Harper out of Fresno State. He's still available as well. So they still have some options, or some of these guys may be available in the fifth round. We don't have a fourth round pick. So, all right, the pick is Cleveland. Go ahead, Deuce.
I was just going to say, you still got a guy like Rashad Green from Florida State who's still on the board. He was rated a good third-round grade by, I think, NFL.com and ESPN. He's a smaller guy, good slot player. Kind of reminds me of Landry going to Miami last year. So if they're looking for a slot guy, he's also an option.
Good, definitely. So, the Saints pick is next after Cleveland's pick is being announced, because Cleveland has already done their selection. That means also the Saints probably have their pick in as well. We are just being delayed by the television announcement. Saints fans, how would you grade? Let's do this. Thus far, how would you grade the Saints picks A, B, C, D? Rev?
Oh, you're asking me how I would grade them?
Yeah.
I mean, so, yeah, I just heard you say who that fans and everything. I didn't know who you were going for. Honestly, I would give our grade, and this is, I have no idea how they're going to play, but with these first four picks, I give it a solid B+.
Okay. What about you, Bear?
Yeah, with the way I read about it, I was thinking that me and Tim think alike, a lot alike anyway, B+. You know, with a chance to go higher or lower, depending upon the rest of it. I have a reason to be excited about every pick they've made so far. And as you heard me allude to earlier, I have my doubts on each one as well. So, it's hit and miss every year. You know, like I said, but look, I thought Kyrie Fort last year was going to be a steal. He might not even be playing in the NFL after this year. So it just goes to show you, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah, who knew? And Professor, what's your grade on these guys so far?
I agree with Barry and Rev. I mean, I don't have no grade because, you know, I'm not going to grade them. I'm not going to do that because that's just setting myself
professor
up.
Professor does not have a grade.
Nope. I have to wait till you start playing on the field. You know, that's always my motto. But in terms of the Saints' needs, I think the Saints have fulfilled every area where they needed to do thus far. They needed help on the offensive line. They needed help on defense. And they needed a successor for Drew. So in terms of fulfilling the needs, I would give them an A+ because they've gone after what the team absolutely needs at this time. Now, I'm hoping with this 78 pick, they can get a wide receiver on this one. And I give them an A+ for going after what is needed, where the improvement is needed in the team. But as far as the players, I don't know enough of these players to say anything about any of them. I just pray and everything works out and that the team is successful. That's my only thing, that the team is successful.
I think Professor makes a great point. I mean, it is, let's be honest, it is kind of silly to try to grade these guys before they even put on a uniform. But like Professor's saying, I mean, if you go by positions, I like the Pete pick. I think it's great to put him on the right side for an aging streak. You know, I think going for two linebackers that we desperately needed is addressing the worst linebacking core in the NFL right now. That helps a lot. I mean, you can't really be upset with any of the picks. They definitely fit what we're looking for, and those were probably the best people available at those positions at the time, with the exception of Randy Gregory, but him having red flag issues, we're not counting that. So, I mean, good picks by the team.
And I don't know if anybody caught this. Isn't it interesting that Shane Ray went to Colorado?
Yeah, I caught it. Hey, look, he won't have to worry about no legal issues there.
All right, bad joke.
Very bad joke.
He was hoping to go to Seattle, so he got his wish.
Look, man, John Elway was so excited when he was introducing him today at the press conference. I was like, oh, my gosh. He was like, man, golly, if he gets caught here, he can go scotch-free. So, but yeah, man. Let's see what the Saints would do. They have not announced the Browns pick at this particular time. Let's see. Do you think the Saints could move up into the fourth round? Or try to do something to get a good quality player in the fourth round.
I don't know. This draft drops significantly after this third round. There's still some good players, but in terms of the talent, because a lot of the players from the end of round one up until even the third round were all kind of just only variables off. They weren't off by a whole lot. But after the third round, this draft is considered to drop off in talent very significantly.
Okay.
Yeah, there would have to be a guy from like a small school that they found that we've never heard of, you know, who started his career in Haiti or something and then played 3 years in Division III, and they happen to know he's the greatest running back or greatest lineman in the world. So, but I will say this, in every draft, the Saints make a trade. It happens every year. And they've traded up every year since 2008. So it is quite possible somewhere around four that they try to come in and grab a player.
Okay. Looks like the NFL is honoring our military. And let's applaud our military for all they've done to protect our nation.
Amen.
I appreciate everything you guys do, man. Yes. It's a very difficult job, and people who are against our military, you need some psychoanalysis going on pretty quick. You got to believe in defending our nation, and I'm all for that, guys. I'm all for that. Protect our country for our future and for our kids as well. All right. Let's see. Cleveland's pick is in. And let's see. Goodell, please announce the pick so we can get to the Saints.
Yeah. Saints are on the clock. I just don't know what it is.
and apparently they always cut to a commercial or P.J. Williams, Florida State cornerback. That's a good pick. I mean, they said it was going to take a cornerback, so I think he had some issues. They dropped him down quite a bit, but I don't think there were any different issues than Marcus Peters had with Washington. He went in the first round. So.
Another Florida State cornerback to the Saints.
Yeah, here comes the Patrick Robinson jokes for sure.
What did the Saints take, Kyle?
P.J. Williams.
Oh, that's what Mike said. He reminds him of Patrick Robinson. Mike Delatilla said that today. That is what Mike said. Mike said that today. He said he reminds me of Patrick Robinson when I was listening to WWL earlier. Is that who the Saints drafted at cornerback?
Yeah, it's not official, but yeah, he's off the board. So Saints drafted him, man. Wow.
Oh, God. I think they just now they down. I take that A plus down to B plus now.
PJ Williams, 6 foot cornerback, 96 pounds. He graded as the top cornerback that's left on the board right now. He does play pretty well. I watched him play at Florida State, especially. He did a good job in the national championship game for a year ago. So. Good guy. So interesting. The Browns selected Duke Johnson, and they have a good competition with Duke Johnson and Bernard now. Interesting.
I don't know why Cleveland drafted all. They have a good defense, and they need help on offense, and they've drafted all these defensive players. That's very mind-boggling.
But Duke Johnson is a running back. That running back out of Miami. Yeah. All right, guys. So P.J. Williams would be the Saints pick, and I can probably put the TV on so you guys can listen to the pick when it finally comes in after we watch Mr. Cam Doesn't Need Another Commercial Newton. Mad Max. How many of you guys going to see the Mad Max film? It's not what's that guy name? Old crazy guy, Rant and Raven.
Oh, Mel Gibson. Yeah. If it ain't Mel Gibson, then I don't want to see it.
Yeah, gotta have Tina Turner in it, man. The pick is in for the New Orleans Saints. Let's see if I can bring the TV in so I can listen. Guys, I appreciate y'all being on with us tonight. The fellas from the Hudak Confessional and Big Easy Believer, the Barry Hurstowitz, as well as Rev Windham himself. How you doing? I appreciate everything you guys do. Keeping us informed of what's happening in the Hudak Nation. All right.
I wish they'd hurry up. I want to see it. I want to see all the highlights. I need to make it official.
Yeah. Robbie Gould.
Well, if, and I know you're waiting for it to be official, but since it's commercial, if that doesn't be pick P.J. Williams from Florida State. I mean, this is a bigger guy with 31-inch arms. He's 6 foot. He doesn't have very large hands, but runs a 4.4. So Saints are kind of going with that bigger DB that they've been following, like with Stanley Jean-Baptiste, now Brandon Browner. So they're going with a bigger set now in their back end.
I just hope Stanley Jean-Baptiste, that project – comes and we get something out of him this year, because they'll have a lot of depth at cornerback and safety, and if they can stay healthy, that will be really good on the back end. And my concern is that front seven, because we've got to get a pass rush this year. We got to get back to the 2013 format that the Saints defense played.
Okay, hold on. Saints pick.
With the CH pick in the 2015 NFL draft, the New Orleans Saints select P.J. Williams, defensive back, Florida State.
They get the long corner from Florida State. Remember, they signed Brandon Browner in free agency. He's 6 feet, 194. Some people think he can also play inside, corner or free safety. Smooth athlete, some character concerns highlighted by a DUI within the last month. However, he can close, fairly physical, and like most Florida State athletes, he was highly recruited coming out of high school.
It's time for the 49ers now to choose the 79th overall selection for San Francisco that went.
Did you notice how Rich Eisen just kind of glossed over our pick, man?
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, I mean, wow. He just like, all right, Saints pick. So what? But anyway, Eli Harrell, defensive end from Virginia, went to the San Francisco 49ers. Many thought the Saints were going to choose him. So there you go. All right, guys. Barry and Deuce, I know you guys going to have some coverage on the draft, and I know Barry going to post some articles. Both of you guys post some articles on the Big Easy Believer. Barry, tell the people how they can be able to follow you guys.
All right. Well, you can follow us at BigEasyBeliever.com, where we cover the Saints and LSU, Tulane, Pelicans. If it's got anything to do with New Orleans or Louisiana sports, we cover it. And you can find me on Twitter at Harahan Hudat.
All right. All right. What about you, Deuce?
All right. You can find me and Barry, of course, on the Big Easy Believer, but if you want to follow me on Twitter, my handle is at Rev Deuce Windham, RevDeuceWindham. Also encourage you guys to check us out on Facebook. We've got a Hudat Confessional page. We've got a Big Easy Believer page. You just put those in the search bar. And we're more than happy to keep you guys up to date with the latest news, not only the Saints, but all New Orleans-related sports.
All right, cool, cool. Professor, how can they reach you? See, he's disconnected. We can't reach him.
Uh-oh. It doesn't feel right when we didn't pick a receiver.
Oh, no, y'all. To me,
yeah, I got
headsets on because I got the TV turned down, so I got headsets on listening to Bobby and them in between to see what's going on. What was your question, Kyle? Ask me a question.
We're wrapping up the show.
Yeah, I heard you wrapping up the show. Yep, I had a good time with Barry and Rev.
All right, man. It's always good.
Let's hope these draft choices work out. That's all we need to be praying, that these draft picks work out, because I think this is a make or break year for the future of this team and Coach Payton's job.
Yeah, I think we all agree on that. There's no question about that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, guys, you can always go on to the internet and find Saints News at www.saintsnews.net and read up on the Saints, of all the Saints news from across the internet, and one place at saintsnews.net 24/7. You can also check us out on Facebook at Saints News, as well as Instagram at Face News at Saints News, and you can also check us out on Twitter at Saints News as well. I appreciate everything, Barry and Rev, you guys being with us. You know, like I always say, you guys are our family, you know, extended family. So of everything that you guys do, keep up the great work over there at the Big Easy Believer. Professor, you and I will be on the air next Friday night with the Real Walk Network, with the debut of network. So guys, tune into that. I'll post that on our Facebook page as well. Hopefully the Saints will have a pretty productive draft the rest of the next few picks that we have in the fifth round, sixth and seventh. So congratulations to all those young men who were chosen and to be a part of a very elite organization, the National Football League, and welcome to the Who Dat Nation as well. This is Kyle T. Mosley of Saints News Radio. Who Dat Nation, listen in to us every Wednesday night this season. We will be on the air. If you guys have anything you want to shout out and email me at, my email address is kmosley@saintsnews.net. Okay, this is Kyle T. Mosley with the Professor, Barry, and Rev. Peace. We are out of here, and you guys have a great weekend. Thank you.
All right. Good luck, Saints. Good luck. Welcome to the team, all the rookies.